speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Today I want to discuss with you a question, why the cross? I believe that is certainly an important question for all of us to answer. I remember that it is said in Matthew 27, verse 37, they set over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" These are, of course, accusations made by his enemies as he hung on the cross in mortal agony. How sad to see that Jesus came to suffer death for mankind, the innocent for the guilty, and yet the guilty are not willing to accept the blessings that come in Christ Jesus. Why the cross, my friends? Well, I can answer that in one sentence. It's because the remission of sins has always been required by the shedding of blood. And Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." You see, in the years before Christ, the blood of animals was used in sacrifices before God. It has been estimated that millions of animals were sacrificed during these years. Each sacrifice, of course, was a painful, bloody, ugly process. Yet these sacrifices pale in comparison to the sacrifice that Jesus finally made for us all. Hebrews 9:23-26 records it. Now, of all the possible methods of execution, why did God choose the cross? Why? What is so special about the cross that it was chosen in God's plan as a means by which He would make our salvation possible? Well, I believe that when we spend some time at the foot of the cross, contemplating the great sacrifice that Jesus made there, we can take with us some insight that will help us throughout our walk of the Christian life. I have oftentimes said, if the cross of Christ does not break your heart, you'll not be worth anything to the Lord and His church anyway. But if the Lord's church is to have your service, the cross must break your heart. You know, one aspect that sets the cross apart is the amount of pain and suffering that one endured while hanging on it. What a sad thing to see the crucifixion and the great pain and suffering that went on there. It was indeed the worst anybody could possibly suffer, and the Romans knew that. It appears that the cross creates the most painful death possible, which is why the Romans chose to use it then, isn't it? So why did God plan for Jesus, His Son, to die such a painful death? Well, the pain of the cross helps to show us the true nature of sin. Do you realize how bad sin is? You know, oftentimes people laugh at sin, especially on our television programs. But when we realize the pain that was involved for God to take away our sin, we can begin to see how bad sin truly is. You know, during the Roman days, crucifixion was not used on Roman citizens, but only on the lowest class of people, the non-citizens. But outside of Judea, their dead bodies were then left to hang and be scavenged by the wild animals. The practice of leaving a dead body is clearly condemned by the Mosaic Law, Deuteronomy 21, verse 22-23. It was out of respect, not generally practiced by the Romans in Judea, that the Jews would have known this. But the lack of a proper burial would serve to show how despised the person was by the Roman government. So they left them to hang and to be eaten by the vultures. Those who were crucified were receiving the worst possible treatment the Romans could possibly think of and give them. Now the cross brings with it great reproach, doesn't it? It's certainly not a thing of beauty, although people today wear it around their necks. They think it's a thing of beauty, but it wasn't. I never have seen anyone wear an electric chair around their neck. And yet, my friends, that really is only a part of what the cross might have been. In Deuteronomy 21:22, we read, "He who is hanged is accursed of God." Well, during the Mosaic dispensation, the normal method of execution was stoning. hanging on a tree was considered extreme. But having Jesus suffer on the cross and thereby be accursed of God, God was showing us the great curse that sin brought upon man. Man should have suffered what Jesus suffered on the cross. But only by our coming unto Christ and obeying His will and taking Him as our sacrifice are we able to avoid the terrible consequences of hell. You know, Jesus was suffering under a curse from God, not because of any sin that He committed, but because of our sins. And when we realize the curse that comes with sin, we will then have a better understanding of our sin, won't we? And how terrible it really is. Crucifixion was also a very humiliating form of death. The one crucified was lifted up into the air so that people could easily see the one being crucified. Usually, the person would be naked, publicly exposed to all that passed by. The thinking of the government was that by subjecting the person to such inhumane treatment, it would show the inhumanity of not obeying the law of the Romans. Well, those witnessing a crucifixion would have a significant deterrent to commit the crime that they might have been guilty of. You see, God used the humiliation of the cross to show us how sin really humiliates us. Well, if death on the cross appears extreme to you, then you're seeing the picture. Sometimes it takes something extreme to get our attention, doesn't it? God definitely wants our attention so that we will consider what's really important. You know, looking with our earthly eyes, we will trivialize the small sins of life sometimes. We talk about little lies and big lies, white lies and black lies. However, when we keep our eyes focused on the cross and see what it took to overcome even those small sins that we may consider, we can see how horrible they truly are. We realize how bad our sin is. We will then work with the necessary motivation and resolve to repent of those sins and work diligently to conform our lives to His will. You know, when we focus on the cross, holiness will become a priority in our life and we will not so easily be overcome by sin. I encourage each one who's in our radio audience to examine yourself closely. As urged in these things, after contemplating the cross, how could we do different? And you know, if it will help us and we're striving for holiness, then certainly the cross has brought before us the right thing, and that's why the cross was allowed. Once we understand the true nature of our sin and what it took to overcome it, then we can start to see the great love that God has shown toward us. John 3:16 says, "But for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." And in Romans 5:8, He tells us God commendeth His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died in the most horrible fashion ever invented by man. And this sets up a striking contrast, does it not, with the extreme love that He showed for us through His death upon the cross. It is impossible for mankind to fully understand the infinite love that God has shown for us, but he can look at the outward signs and somewhat contemplate it more seriously. May we never allow the infinite love and the great sacrifice which Christ made for us to be in vain. He gave His life. And of course, understanding what it means to give His life in this way, I think the Journal of American Medical Association brings it home to us more clearly. They say the cross was placed on the ground and the exhausted man is thrown backwards with his shoulders against the wood. An expert Roman soldier feels for the depression at the front of the wrist, and he drives a heavy, square, tapered iron nail about 3/8 inch in diameter through the wrist. And the soldier then moves to the other side and repeats that action over there, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly, but to allow some movement. The cross is then lifted into place. The left foot is pressed backwards against the right foot. With both feet extended, toes down, a nail is driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees flexible. The victim is now crucified. As he slowly sags down with more weight on the nails and the wrist, excruciating, fiery pain shoots along the fingers and up the arms. And the nails in the wrist are putting pressure on the median nerve. As he pushes himself upward to avoid this pain. He places the full weight of nail on the nail through his feet. And again, he feels the searing agony of the nail tearing through the nerves between the bones and his feet. As the arm fatigue comes, his muscles cramp, knotting them with throbbing pain. And with these cramps, he cannot push himself upward to breathe. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but not exhaled. He fights to raise himself in order to get even one small breath. Well, every now and then, he's able to push himself upward to exhale and to bring in oxygen. Hours of limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-wrenching cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, the searing pain as tissue is torn from the lacerated back, and as he moves up and down against the rough timber, all of these things he must endure. As if this was not enough, the victim feels the pain deep in his chest. The pericardium begins to fill with serum, and the heart is pushed against that part. And the end is near. The loss of tissue fluids has reached a critical level, and the heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood into the tissues. The searing lungs are working tirelessly to bring in oxygen, and the victim can take no more as he feels the chill of death in his body. Death does come. And all of this the Bible records with the simple words of Mark 15:24 and Matthew 27, "And they crucified him." My friends, realizing what death Jesus died for us, can we not live for him? Won't you hear his word and believe it? Repent of your sins, confess the name of Christ even today. Be buried with your Lord in baptism to wash away your sins.